Good evening. It's certainly good to see everyone this evening, and it's good to be able to come back to worship God. It's good to be able to come out of the world for just a moment and be able to come into this building and have some solace and an opportunity to step away from that and come together and encourage one another in our songs and prayers and study of God's Word to worship God. I'm encouraged by your presence, and we have a number who are visiting this evening, and we appreciate the presence of all of you. We have some that have been traveling, and we're certainly thankful for safe returns, and the Lord has blessed us with beautiful weather and the health to be out, and it's very encouraging. I appreciate the prayer on my behalf, and I've always appreciated those prayers for both me and my family, and that's very encouraging. In the scripture reading this evening of Psalm 127, the beautiful passage in which the psalmist says that children are a heritage from the Lord. And we want to look this evening at that important heritage that we have, that important resource that God has given us to have children and a family. And Memorial Boulevard is blessed with families. And there are those here this evening with young children and those that are a little bit older in junior high and high school and college. And we have children from different ages. We have those here this evening that may be contemplating marriage and want to have children one day. We have one here who has a baby just a few days old. And so we understand the different stages of life and the different times in which our children might be with us. And we need to be thinking about the importance of raising them in the right way so that we can be in heaven together. In this same psalm, in verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So there's really two elements here. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing. They are a great resource that God has given us. But verse 1 says, the Lord has to be building that house. In other words, we have to be building our home on biblical principles if we want that house to stand the test of time and to stand the various assaults that the devil might throw against it. Like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that home that is built upon the rock of God's Word. This evening, I want us to look for just a moment at why we are losing our children. And by losing our children, I don't mean in the sense that they run off and they're lost like Jesus was in the temple in Luke chapter 2, but lost in the sense of lost to the world, lost to the devil, lost in sin. We may know where they are physically, but they're lost with regard to their soul's salvation. Why is it that in our country and really around the world, we're seeing more and more of our young people being lost? Why is it that even in the Lord's church we see more and more of that? Well, we're going to look this evening at some biblical reasons for that. I would hasten to say, however, before we get into the lesson, that there are those here this evening who have raised godly children. And they're faithful, and they're members of the church, and they're faithfully serving the Lord, and they're to be commended. In other words, the entire picture is not completely black and bleak. There are those who are raising their children the right way. And that is commendable, and that is encouraging. What we're looking at, generally, is what is going on out in the world, and if we're not careful, can be in our own home. We're finding that our children are being lost to the devil. The ranks of the devil are enlarging and increasing with young people as each generation comes along. Why is that? Well, we want to look at the Word of God for that. To impress upon our minds the current state of what is going on, we certainly need to understand that young people are having problems. These next few slides are taken from a website from an agency up in Michigan that tries to help young people. For example, eating disorders. 11% of young people in America suffer from either anorexia nervosa or bulimia. 90 to 95% of all patients with eating disorders are female adolescents. 2 out of 3 teenage girls surveyed were trying to lose weight. Only 50% of those with eating disorders reported being cured. About 6% of serious cases died. And I would hasten to say that this is talking about those who are engaging this because of look, because of the national pressure from Hollywood and other places that you have to look a certain way. And so young people are not eating right in order to fit that particular mold, and some of them are even dying over it. We have situations in which there are broken homes and family relationships that are on the rocks. 1 out of 2 marriages ends in divorce in our country. Almost 1 out of 3 children live in a single-parent home. Parents spend 40% less time with their children today than they did a generation ago. Well, I've got to work, and I've got my hobbies, and I've got this I've got to go to, and that I've got to go to, and I'm busy doing this. And so, while we're away from our young, they're raising themselves. The world is raising them. The devil is raising them, and we're seeing that we're losing our young people. As adults and as parents, we need to control that and watch that. 1 out of 5 teens has not had a conversation with their parent that lasted 10 minutes in more than a month. You stop and think about that. We can't even talk to our children. And so they might be busy with their technology, and we're busy with our technology, but we just don't talk anymore, and so we're losing our young people. The number of single dads grew 70%, and the number of households headed by single moms grew 25% in the last 10 years. We're losing our young people. Music and television. Teens are glued to the TV on average for 5 hours per day. We're not reading our Bibles like we used to. We're not looking at God's Word. We're not spending time with God and His Word. We're not being guided by God. We're being guided by that box. Teens listen to an average of 40 hours of music per week. Most of teen music aims at aggressive and violent messages about sex and drugs. We're losing our young people. Prostitution. 95% of prostitutes are runaways. Many of them are teens. At any time, there are 600,000 adolescents involved in prostitution. Look at that number. Look how high that is. Not 6,000, 600,000. The average runaway first act of prostitution takes place at 14 years old. About $1 billion is spent on prostitution each year in the United States. Sexual activity. 50% of all teens are sexually active. 1 out of every 2 in our country. 8 in 10 girls and 6 in 10 boys wish they had waited until they were older before having sex. Due to sexual activity, 15.3 million people contract a sexually transmitted disease, and about 2/3 of that number are teenagers. Experts estimate that 90% of all rapes are never reported, many of them happening in the teenage years. Sexual assault. Somewhere in America, a woman is sexually assaulted every 2 minutes, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. According to the Justice Department, 1 in 2 rape victims is under age 18, and 1 in 6 is under age 12. 1 out of 3 girls have been sexually abused before age 18. 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 boys are sexually molested before 18. In America, a woman is sexually assaulted every 2 minutes. There'll be several assaults before this sermon is over with. Substance abuse or drugs. Junior and senior high school students consume $1.1 billion on beer. 18% of teens drink more than once per month. 18% drink regularly and 25% smoke regularly. 2 million American teens start smoking each year, and 75% continue to smoke for 10 years after and most of their life, entire lifetime. 10% of youth ages 12 through 17 report using illicit drugs. An estimated 1.8 million Americans, 12 and older, are current users of cocaine. Interesting, drugs, those types of things come and go. I've tried to keep up with some of these things through the years, and of course we're all familiar with the drug revolution of the late 60s and early 70s, and it was very popular, especially among the young people, and then it seemed to go away for a little bit. You didn't hear much about it like in the 80s and 90s, and then here it is coming back around again. We're seeing more and more illicit drug use. The devil has a way of bringing these things around every few generations and affecting folks with it. We're losing our young people. 56% of youth reported marijuana as easy to obtain. 21% of youth reported heroin as easy to obtain. 14% of youth reported being approached by someone selling drugs during the 30 days prior to this particular poll that was recently taken. 113 million youth ages 12 to 17 reported currently drinking alcohol. 33 million youth ages 12 through 17 admit to being binge drinkers, meaning 5 or more drinks on one occasion. 12 million youth ages 12 to 17 were heavy drinkers or otherwise classified as alcoholics. Can you imagine that? You look at our commercials that emphasize alcohol. You look at music and movies and other kinds of things, and then we wonder why there's so much of it going on. We're losing our young people. Suicide. In the U.S., more people kill themselves than are killed by all other causes. 8 out of 10 people who kill themselves gives clues before doing so. There's an 80% chance that people who fail an attempted suicide will try again. 10% of girls contemplate suicide, while 7.5 of guys do. Every 30 minutes in America, 29 kids will attempt suicide. 2,795 teenage girls will become pregnant, and 22 girls will get abortions. Every 30 minutes in America. We're losing our young people. And we could go on and on and on. We could have slides talking about bullying. We could have slides talking about violence and guns and other kinds of things. We could just go on and on and on, but you get the point. Teen pregnancy. 4 in 10 teenage girls get pregnant at least once before they reach the age of 20. The United States has the highest rate of teen pregnancy in the industrialized world. You underscore that. You underscore that. Isn't it great that we're leading the world? We're leading the way. America's leading the way. We're leading the way in sinful things. And can you imagine the world turns to us? When I was in the Philippines a little over 10 years ago, there was all this talk over there among brethren and folks that weren't brethren. We want American music, and we want American clothes, and we want American food, and we want American TV. We want to be like you Americans. Well, that's what's happening. We're leading the world. We're showing the world how to be sinful. We're leading the world in this matter. Teen pregnancy costs society at least $7 billion a year. Taxpayers paying for someone else's responsibility, someone else's poor choices, and other kinds of things. From girls ages 15 to 19, 86% of births were to unmarried teens. And like I said, the Southwest Michigan Society is trying, an institution and organization is trying to help young people, and that's where I got the current statistics. We're losing our children. We're losing our young people. I want to look this evening at four reasons why, but before we do that, I want to look at a couple of passages. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. There are two kinds of parents. There are parents who are guiding their children the right way and not losing their children, and then their parents are not. And Abraham was one of those that God knew was leading his family the right way. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, "For I have known him to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of Jehovah to do righteousness and justice, to the end that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken unto him." There are those parents like Abraham that are working hard and making the sacrifices. And if I can't spend 10 minutes with my child, I'm going to make the sacrifices to do that. And if I'm not home like I need to be, I'm going to make those changes. There are parents who make the changes. There are parents who make the sacrifices. There are parents who hear lessons like this and make the alterations and make the adjustments. They don't sit and say, "Well, that's not me," and make excuses. But we make the changes that we need to make. I include Sherry and myself. We all can make the changes that we need to make sure that we raise our children the right kind of way. But on the other hand, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, of course. You've got the parents like Eli. You've got the parents like Eli who are not concerned about the spiritual well-being of their children. And they're not disciplining their children. And they're not raising them up in the right kind of way. So we find in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not." They knew what was going on. They knew the trouble that they were in. But he simply chose to have a hands-off approach. "I'm not going to say no to little Johnny. Isn't it cute what he's doing? So I'm not going to say no, and I'm not going to squelch his little spirit, and I'm not going to, you know, shut down his enthusiasm, so I'm just not going to say no to him and reprove him or restrain him." Or like David himself in 1 Kings chapter 1, turn with me there. "Well, isn't little Johnny cute? Adonijah, isn't little Adonijah cute? He's just a good-looking little boy, and he's handsome, and he just looks great." But we find in 1 Kings chapter 1 that Adonijah was that cute little boy. But verse 6, "His father had not displeased him at any time, saying, 'Why have you done so?'" His father wouldn't hold him accountable. His father wouldn't say no, but he was a cute little boy. And isn't it cute what he's doing? You see, we have that in our society today. We're losing our children. And that cute little boy then grows up to become someone who's eventually in the devil's clutches. So this evening, I want us to look at why we're losing our children. I want to look at four biblical reasons why. Number one, we're losing our children because, frankly, we're losing our parents. We're having more and more parents who simply aren't following the Word of God. More and more parents in our society and around the world are having less and less to do with the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6 through 9, the Bible is to be in the home and it's to be read when you stand up and when you lie down and at the beginning of the day and at the close of the day. We have more and more parents that have less and less to do with the Word of God. Our nation used to be built on biblical principles, and we're getting away from that. Parents used to attend at least some sort of a religious denomination on the weekends or on Sundays. We're seeing less and less of that. Not only are churches of Christ shrinking, and that we've got these big buildings and just very few people, but the denominations are experiencing the same kind of thing. Less and less of God in my life. And so we're losing our children because we're losing our parents. And the parents don't know up from down. And they don't know top side from bottom. And they wouldn't know how to raise a child if they needed to try. They just wouldn't have those basic principles, those values. They're not having God in their life. More and more parents are without God. And more parents are setting the wrong example. They're out doing these kinds of things themselves. And no wonder the child grows up and begins to do the very same kind of thing. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, a righteous man that walketh in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. They see that positive example. But then there's also that negative example. We have the expression like father, like son. Ezekiel actually used that expression in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44. Like mother, like daughter. It works the same way. And so if we're not living right ourselves, and that's generally what we're seeing, we see all kinds of news stories. A lot of times we'll turn on the news in the morning, we see all kinds of stories involving young people that are doing something that's wrong. I immediately think of the parents behind them. The parents aren't mentioned in the news story, but that's where it started. We're losing our parents. But the story's about how some young person went out and did such and such. But if you'll trace it back, you'll find some of those same kinds of attitudes and dispositions and habits among the parents themselves. What kind of example are we setting for our children? We may not be out as a parent in the church here doing something violent. We may not be doing something that's newsworthy, but our children are seeing us. They're seeing if we're putting the Lord first and putting the church service first and putting the Bible first. They see that. And if we're setting the wrong example in something we're saying or doing or thinking, they're going to likely follow that. We're losing our children because we're losing ourselves. Are we losing a child because there was a point in our life when we were not spiritually strong? Maybe we weren't attending. Maybe we weren't reading our Bible. Maybe we weren't coming like we should. Can we trace it back to us? We're certainly going to be looking at the young person later in this lesson. But do we need to look at ourselves first? And maybe we're trying to make some changes in that area. But what about a parent who still wants to be weak in that area of example? My child is seeing me. My child sees me when I'm not here. My child sees me when I complain about the church. My child sees me when I'm not reading my Bible and I'm not putting that first, you see. My child sees me. And they're going to follow those actions. And you've heard that expression, actions speak louder than words. And so that's what they're going to follow. And they're not hearing what I'm saying. They're seeing what I'm doing. That's speaking louder. And so we need to certainly be mindful of that kind of thing. We need to be an Abraham. That God knew that He was going to command His children. We need to be a Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we need to set that example beginning in the home. And then no matter what might happen later in life, out in school and other areas of our life, that example will be there the rest of their life. More and more parents are divorcing. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. You saw the statistic earlier. One out of every two marriages ends in divorce in this country. We're up to about 50% of divorce in this country. Did you know that is a direct correlation to the broken home and the values of a young person? Do you know that God wants us to stay together because He wants the children to be raised right? And when we break up and divorce for some unscriptural reason, there's going to be ramifications with the children. In Malachi chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, or verse 14, I've been witness between thee and the wife of your youth against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is the companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did he not make one? He's talking about Adam and Eve, all the way back in Genesis 2:24. The two became one flesh. Did he not make one? Talking about the original pair, the original couple. Now look at it. And wherefore one? Underscore that in your Bible. Why did he make one? Why did he make one man and one woman for life? He could have had one man and multiple women. One woman and multiple. There could have been a number of different relationships, but he chose one man, one woman. Why? Read the rest of the verse. He sought a godly seed. That's the way you raise godly children, is you have one man and one woman who are committed in a lifelong relationship. Now, if you divorce and break that up, then you're not going to have that godly seed often. Why? Because the young person says, well, if mom and dad can't stay together, then why should I be committed to anything? If they can't follow God's word, why should I follow God's word? And so that whole thing breaks down, and that's what we're seeing in our nation. The one man, one woman for life is for a purpose. He sought a godly seed. That's the best way to raise children. We're seeing more and more parents without priorities, putting the Lord's church first. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. And just in the world in general, we're not attending some church. We're not reading our Bible. Many don't even own a Bible anymore. Bibles used to be prevalent. Bible talks about Bibles used to be common in this country. We're just not seeing that anymore. We're getting farther and farther away from spiritual priorities. Putting heaven first. Putting worshiping God first. Putting God's Word first. It's about other things. It's about technology and fun and games and buying things and going places and having a good time. And some of those things in and of themselves are fine, but they take first place. We read that statistic that many parents can't even have a 10-minute conversation anymore with their children. And I would just hasten all of us as a reminder, even when we have the opportunity to have the 10 minutes, I'm on my technology and my child's on his technology and we're still not talking, even though we might have the 10 minutes. I would say that all of us would do well to really keep that technology at bay. It's just coming in more and more. We've got to be spending time talking with our children. And so, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Would you say the days are evil? 21st century America, would you say the days are evil? Yeah, they're pretty evil, aren't they? And so we've got to buy up that opportunity. We need every moment that we can to put a priority on raising our children right. We're losing our children because we're losing our parents. And more parents are without proper standards. They don't know black and white. They don't know up from down. They don't know right from wrong. Young parents now, we're in a generation now where young parents in their early 20s never set foot in a church building in their life. We're talking about people that were born in 1990. Now, getting married and having children, they've never been in a church building in their life. They've never read a Bible in their life. You think, no, that can't be. Yeah, it is. And there's plenty of material to back that up where many young people are being interviewed. Have you ever picked up a Bible? No, not in my entire life. Can you imagine that? That's just hard to fathom. But we're in that era. And so they don't know what the standards are. They don't know good and evil, right and wrong, black and white, up from down. Those Bible principles that we learned growing up, they don't know those kinds of things. And not only that, but they're certainly not disciplining their children. Like Eli of old, he restrained them not. So the child just bangs whatever they're banging, or they're tearing up whatever they're tearing up, and nobody says anything. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, obey your parents. That implies discipline. That necessitates instruction and command and discipline and teaching. And we're seeing more and more of disobey your parents. But obey your parents. And then look at verse 4. Nurture them or raise them up in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. In other words, the way the Lord would want them to be taught from His Word. And so we're just seeing more and more of that in our country. More and more teaching to parents, don't discipline, don't spank, don't try to control anything, don't try to quench his little spirit, you see. You don't want to do that. And all that kind of pop human psychology that is anti-biblical, and young parents are hearing more and more of that and following that kind of thing. They're lost themselves, and they're losing their children. But number two, we find that we're losing our children in our culture and around the world because we're losing our culture, we're losing our world. Our world is in the hands of the evil one, like John said. The world lieth in the hands of the evil one. And that is certainly true today. Young people are pulled away by worldly friends. And there's more and more opportunity to sin today than ever more. I remember when I was young, there were some things that if I wanted to get into those things that were wrong, I kind of had to go looking for it. But you know, now you don't even have to look for it. It just comes right to you. It's piped right to you. Conveniently wrapped and quickly gotten. And turn with me to Psalm 1. We need to understand that we're losing our young people because they're making contact. We may be allowing it or we may not be allowing it as parents, but either way, they're making contact with worldly people who are leading them astray. And so blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. I'm not going to get my guidance from evil people, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I'm not going to stand and hang around with them and get caught up in the trouble that they're in, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. Did you notice the progression there? Look very closely at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. That's talking. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. Did you notice that? The first thing we do is we listen to what the worldly person is saying. But we keep walking. And then we listen to what the worldly person says, and then we stop for just a moment. I'm going to spend a little bit more time. And then you know what we do? We just sit down with the worldly person. So it's a progression, isn't it? And so when our young people, whether it's movies, music, media, friends, whatever, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. They're being pulled away in that way. Again, some of it may be that we're controlling that and we're trying to work with that. It may be that parents aren't controlling that. But either way, contact is being made and influence is being made. Sometimes parents won't control it. They won't say no to that. They won't check on that kind of thing. They won't lay down some laurels and some boundaries. So Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Turn with me to Proverbs 12 and verse 26. And you know what? Those sinners that are enticing us, it doesn't have to be the guys that we used to hang with down at school. It can be what's being piped in on the internet, what's being piped in on the TV. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked causeth them to err. And so we just follow that, and we go off and do that, and we find ourselves in error. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24. The world lieth in the evil one. And because we're losing our world and our culture, when our own children make contact with that culture, it is causing them to be lost themselves. Make no friendship with a man that is given to anger. And with a wrathful man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Our children are learning the ways of the world, is just what's happening. And then we're getting a snare to a soul. Be not thou one of them that striketh hands. In other words, let's shake hands, let's get close, let's learn how this is done. And it just causes problems. Of course, we're familiar with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Young people then are being pulled away by the liberal media, the liberal sinful media, whether it's the words, the concepts, the language, the sexual immorality, whatever it might be, and whether it's music or movies or something else, that is just constantly being piped into our ears. And it's like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, that we're to guard our heart, guard our eyes and our ears. The lamp of the body is the eye. What are we looking at? What are we looking at? It's just being piped right in, you see, and we're losing our young people as a result of that. Or it might be liberal education. Whatever the case might be, we're being pulled away by pop culture that is lying in the hands of the evil one. And when our young people, without the proper guidance at home, without the proper guidance themselves, they're just open fodder for that worldliness. It's just like an open book. Come take me and use me as you want. And so we're losing our young people because we're losing our culture. And What a shame. What a shame. We're getting the Ten Commandments out of schools. We're getting the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms. We're getting rid of God and other references to religious things from the top office all the way down. No wonder we're losing our culture. About 30 years ago, beginning in the 1960s or so, we began to take prayer out of school. And then we're taking the Ten Commandments out. And then we're taking a separation of church and state. No more prayers at ball games and these types of things. And whatever little vestige of religion and spirituality is left, the ACLU is coming along and trying to tear that and rend that. And we're just slowly going down the slippery slope to sin. And so our culture is just going down. And when our young people are making contact with that, in whatever aspect of their life, we may be able to guard them, maybe in their education, and keep them away from that. But we can't keep them away from other kinds of things. We may be able to guard the TV, we may be able to guard the movies and music, and we need to be doing all that, but eventually they go out and they make that contact. They might be in some organization where they're out with some worldly people, or they may make some contact in some kind of way, eventually in their life. How they have been grounded at home, how they've been grounded themselves is going to be a big determining factor. Whether or not, Proverbs 1:10, if sinners entice, consent thou not. Will they say yes or will they say no? Number three, you know, we're losing our young children because we're losing the Lord's church. And what I mean by that is that our young people in the Lord's church, and I'm not talking about denominationalism now, I'm talking about the Lord's church. Our young people that are in church buildings, and their parents are wanting them to be there, they're bringing them there, maybe they want to be there themselves. In more churches of Christ across the land, they're hearing less and less of the things that they need to hear to get them through life. The very place that they could come and hear things that they need to hear, they're hearing less and less of that. I believe we're losing our young children in part. This is not the total picture. I would not say it's the majority of the picture, but there's a little bit of it there where the church may be a part of that problem. What do I mean by that? Well, young people are hearing less and less gospel preaching from the pulpit or classroom. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the minister is told to preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season. In more and more churches of Christ, we're seeing the idea of entertainment and storytelling and joking and cutting up. And our young people come in and they're faced with these things out in the world, and the very things that they need to guide them, the lessons from God's Word, those old Bible stories that we heard growing up, they're not hearing those kinds of things. They're not hearing those lessons about Moses and Noah and Abraham and those lessons from the New Testament. They're hearing cute little funny stories for just a few minutes, and then we all go home and feel good. We're supposed to preach the Word. And so here comes the young person in, and maybe they're dressed immodestly. They never hear a lesson on immodest apparel. Maybe they're being tempted out in the community to drink and dance, and maybe they're doing those kinds of things. They never hear the preacher preach on drinking and dancing. But you know what? That's a fun church to go to. I've got a lot of friends there, and it's a big church, and I fit in and feel good. That young person is not hearing what they need to hear. I believe in part we're losing our young children because we're losing the Lord's church. Elders and gospel preachers and Bible class teachers. I've heard stories about where a Bible class was being conducted, and it was all about a story that the teacher told for the 45 minutes. The Bible wasn't open, the Bible wasn't read, and it was a teenage class. He just read a story from something that he had seen in the news and talked about that. No Bible! We're losing our young people because we're losing the church. We need to be preaching the gospel from the pulpit. We need to be balanced in our preaching. Young people are hearing less and less balanced preaching. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, I declared the whole counsel of God. And if you notice there in verse 20, he said, I held back nothing that was profitable to you. I'm not suggesting that every Sunday be filled with a sermon that is meant to attack some young person's challenge, but periodically we need to hear those kinds of things.
in the general course of the life of the young person of that congregation, they need to hear about the errors of denominationalism. They need to hear about the sinfulness of alcohol and immodesty and fornication and those types of things.
We need to be balanced in our preaching. But every Sunday, it's about some aspect of love or some aspect of being a disciple of Jesus, and we need those things. But I'm not going to touch on negative things and sinful things and worldly things. And I'm not going to come down hard on these kinds of things. Because you know what? It just drives the young people away. Parents, we need to be concerned about our young people. Absolutely. And one way that we can help that is, are we bringing our young people into an environment 3 times a week where they're going to hear balanced things? If the answer is no, then whatever likes we might have about some other congregation, we need to be picking what is going to give them the Word of God. Listen, numbers is not what's going to get them through life. The Word of God will. Numbers and friends and I like this, and that's not going to get them through life. The grounding of God's Word. And I need to be where that is going to be the case. And not just in the pulpit. I'm not simply bringing attention to myself, being the one that does most of the preaching here. But what about the Bible class? What about our Bible class teachers? We have ladies that will prepare Bible-based lessons. And they spend time and then hard work. And they're going to teach the Bible to our children. And the men teaching the teenage class. We're going to have Bible-based, Bible-grounded lessons. That's what my children need. Not the fun and games and the entertainment and the emphasis on that kind of thing. You know young Timothy. From a babe he had learned the sacred writings. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. From a babe he had learned the sacred writings. Now that's from his mother. That's from his mother. But yes, the local church can also contribute to that. Twice a week, we have Bible-based lessons here. And I'm going to have my children here. And we're going to have our lessons ready to go because that's the thing that's going to help them from being lost in life. Young people are witnessing more and more worldly church members. There are more and more local churches that won't discipline matters that need to be disciplined. And so when I'm in a local church of Christ and I see immodest apparel, nothing being done with that, and bad words, nothing being done with that, and dancing around prom time and other occasions, elders not doing anything about that, and maybe bad words and other kinds of things. When I see that going on in the church, I'm thinking, well, it must not be all that bad. I'll just do it myself. We're seeing more and more of that. The preacher won't preach on these things, and the elders won't do anything about it, and it just sort of rocks along and goes along. And you know what? That's a big church. They've got, you know, over 100 people, over 200 people, and they're just packed full. Yeah, packed full of sin in the camp. And so when young people see that, they're basically saying, well, that must be okay. We're seeing more and more of that. And we're seeing where young people are hearing more and more complaining. What's wrong with the church? What's wrong with the preacher? What's wrong with the elders? What's wrong with the Bible class teacher? And so we find in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring and complaining. When our young people hear what is bad going on in the church and what is wrong with the church, when they get up old enough to where they can drive, I'm just not going to drive anymore down to the church building. I'm just not going to go with mom and dad anymore down to that church building. I've got my own car now and my own life, and I've pretty much had it with that Church of Christ. You see, we're seeing more of that. And so in our preaching and in our teaching, while we're here, we need to talk about what is right with the church, what is good with the church, why we need to be here, why this needs to be a part of our life. We need that kind of approach with our young people. They're hearing all the other. They're seeing all the other. And so we're losing our children because, in part, we're losing the Lord's church. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, we're losing our children because sometimes children are just simply having a mind of their own. No matter what you've done, they're going to go off. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18 and let's remind ourselves of one matter. Let's say you have parents that are doing the best that they can. And let's say you keep your children from those worldly influences. And maybe you might be in a local congregation that has balanced preaching and gospel preaching and that type of thing. And the child grows up and eventually they just leave. I know of some situations where I believe the young person was raised the best way that they could be raised. And they were in a conservative, sound, local congregation, and they were kept away from the worldly kinds of things, just like other young people were. But when they got older, maybe it happened after in their 20s, after they got married, they made a conscientious or and a conscious decision just to leave. Maybe they left the church altogether, or maybe they left and went to some denomination. We need to understand that we all have free will. And we can be raised with the best of the parents, and we can choose not to follow that. Do you remember in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 5? Ezekiel talks about, if a man be just and do that which is right and lawful. And he talks about all the good things that he did and how he stayed away from wrong and he lived a right life. Now come down to verse 10. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and doeth any one of these things. In other words, we can live right as a parent. And we can raise our children right. And we can be right. But they can grow up and choose their own way. And so verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. I want you to notice something. In verse 10, if he beget a son that is a robber. Now look at this. Where did he get that? Where did the son get that? He didn't get it from his father, because if you back up to verse 7, he didn't do robbery. His father was a good father. He didn't get it from his parents. His parents were good. He got it from somewhere else. And he made that decision. I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm not going to be like my mom. And so we certainly need to factor that in. Sometimes we lose our children because they have a free will of their own and they reject the good that was given them earlier in life. They don't want the wise counsel. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 30. I believe that in many cases the fault is the parent and the world, and in some cases the church. But in some cases it's just simply the free will of the young person who doesn't want the right in good way. The fault is not the parent. It's not the church. It may not be the world as much. It's just they simply don't want what is right and good. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. But jump down to verse 29. For they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of Jehovah, they would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. They don't want to hear me. And so we just need to face the fact that there are people like that. There are young folks like that. They just simply, as they get older, and I've heard it, and it tears my heart, but I've heard it come out of their mouth. Dad, I don't want your ways. Mom, I don't want your ways. I've heard that. So that's possible. And a person gets to the point where they just simply think that they know better than the wisdom, not only of their parents, but of the wisdom of God. And then look at verse 31. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. This is what I want. I'm going to have it. And it leads them down that path. What path? Verse 32. The backsliding of the simple shall slay them. Down the path of being slain by the devil. Verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, that's unto the wisdom of the parent who's following God's word, shall dwell securely and shall be quiet without fear of evil. Some people just simply don't want the right way of their parents in God's word. Well, I want to close on a positive note. This has been very negative in many regards, especially those early slides, the terrible things that we're seeing among our young people. And those early slides about all of those things that are going on with the alcohol and all of that, I want to end on a positive note. It doesn't have to be like that in your family or in mine. There is hope. I want to suggest a few things and then we'll close. Number one, we need to remember that we can train up a child in the way that he shall go. Keep working hard at doing that. And there are parents here who are doing that. And you're to be blessed. And we pray I like our prayers here at Memorial Boulevard. There are regular prayers to the parents about raising our young people and keeping them away from those sinful influences. We need to keep trying the best that we can. And as a parent, let's go home and sit down and take a self-evaluation. Is there something that we can change in our life to continue training them up? But turn with me, the chapter 22, verse 6 is very well known. Turn with me to chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, 22. Keep working hard, in other words, at raising your children right. Proverbs 23, 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Young people, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Don't despise what your father's saying. You know, when I was young, there were times I literally, when Dad got done talking to me and he walked out of the room, I was sitting there steaming. I just did not like that. And I wasn't allowed to show it because we would get a whipping for showing it, so I didn't show it. But I'm thinking inside, I'm rejecting this, I hate this, I don't like this. But the older I got, the more I realized he was leading me in the right way. It's easy for a young person to sit there and just almost have that scowl on your face. They're trying to get us to heaven. And we need to love and appreciate that. The older we get, the more we realize that. Verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Stick with God's word. As a parent, keep raising your children with God's word, not the wisdom of the world. Wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Let thy father and thy mother be glad. Listen, it's not a war zone at home. It's to be a glad, joyful relationship because we're all on the same page. We're all following God's word. We're all in church. We're all going to heaven. It's supposed to be a family that has joy. My son, give me thy heart, and let thy eyes delight in my ways. That really is what the parent is asking for tonight. You know what your mom and dad wants from you tonight? They don't want your money. They don't want your iPod. They don't want your cell phone. They just want your heart. Give me your heart. They want to guide you in the right way. Parents, keep doing that, and we'll be rewarded. And another thing, a child can learn from the worst. And maybe something happened earlier in our life, and I purposely did not read this portion of Ezekiel because I wanted to save it for right now. Do you know that that story goes on to talk about that son that grew up and he was a robber and he did all those terrible kinds of things? Do you know what the story goes on to say in verse 14? He begets a son that is right. So let's say, as a parent, we did something earlier in our life that was not right toward our children. Maybe we didn't set the right example. Maybe spiritually we were not what we needed to be. And we're partly to blame for that. And we're willing to own up to that and admit to that. Do you know what? When our child sees something earlier in life that wasn't right, they can learn from that and be different. So verse 10, if he beget a son that is a robber. Now this is the young man that grows up. He's a robber and he's got all these terrible things that he's done. Look at verse 14. If he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and fears, and doeth them not. So listen, there is hope. Sometimes a young person witnesses things in us early in life that just isn't right. And you know what? They fear. They fear God. And they don't want to do that. They want to be different. And they change. And they live right. So yes, there is hope. And number three, you know what? A lost child can return. The prodigal can come home. Myrtle was just talking with me this morning. She saw the sign out front and she said, you know, that's a good topic, and could you give me the outline on that? I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to be back tonight. She's caring for Bobby, and she said, that's a really good topic. She said, you know, her oldest son had left the faith for a while, and he's now back serving the Lord, and she's so happy about that. And what we were talking about was the fact that what he came back to was those values that had been implanted earlier in life. And so here's a young person, they go off, the prodigal son. You know, there's a lot of things that can be taken away from you, but what's not taken away are those memories up here in your head about the way you were raised, those values, those lessons. How do I know that? Look in Luke chapter 15. When the prodigal son had gotten off on his own, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, when he came to himself, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger." He looked back on those days when he was in his father's home. And not just what he had, but the values and the lessons, and he wanted to return to those. And so there is hope that a child can come back to those values. And then last of all, as we sang in our song, and I appreciate Matthew singing that song, a young person can cleanse their heart by coming back to the Word of God. How shall the young secure their heart? They're not going to be lost to the devil. How can they secure their heart? By taking heed to the Word of God. Well, the lesson is yours. I appreciate your time and attention. We look around and see the sad state of our young people. We're losing so many in our nation and around the world. But we don't have to have that in our life. And for those who will be planning a family one day, and for those who just have newborns, and for those who are raising children, there's hope. We have to trust and follow God's Word. And so as a parent, we're not going to lose ourselves. We're going to live right. Number two, we're not going to let them be around those worldly influences. The world lieth in the evil one. Number three, we're going to be in a local church setting that has that balanced preaching, that gospel preaching that's going to help our young people live right. And we're going to instill in our young people those values of wanting to heed to the Word of God. If you're here this evening as a young person and you need to cleanse your way by washing those sins away in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. Or as an erring child of God, if you are the prodigal, there's no shame and humiliation in coming back. The shame and the humiliation is staying out there in the wasteland, staying out there in the prodigal living. That's where the shame is. That's where the humiliation is, not coming back. The Father waited with open arms, and there was joy and rejoicing. If you're that this evening, we would encourage you to come back. If we can assist you in any way, why would you come as we stand and sing?